Good morning. I mean, good afternoon. Good evening, actually. Beautiful people, this is Marley, and you're tuning in to Makeup Microplastics with Marley. I hope you've had a good week so far. And yeah, I've had a pretty good week. I'm currently writing my thesis for my dissertation, or I guess I'm just writing my dissertation. And it's really stressful, but this is a nice little break to talk about something I'm more passionate about. So it's definitely getting me through it. Yeah, I mean, the week has just been the same old, just doing the same thing. And I hope maybe you're enjoying my content on social media. If you don't know, my Instagram is at Marley Eve, MarleyEve, and that's where I've started to post reels about makeup, sustainability, and microplastics. So it's kind of like a summed up version of my show every Sunday. So if you can't tune in or you're curious about maybe a shortened form or something that I didn't talk about, there are a few things that I haven't talked about here, or I go specifically into one thing I mentioned. You can look at my Instagram for some more short form content. But yeah, also over on my Instagram or just at Moss Radio, the Instagram for Moss Radio, you can always reach out to me if you have a subject related to makeup, sustainability, microplastics, skincare, that field, boycotting. You can always reach out to them or me and talk about, request a subject for me to cover. Or if you also want to read the articles I reference, the research articles or just regular magazine articles, you're always welcome to reach out to me and I'm happy to send them to you so you can read them on your own time. Yeah, so let's get into it. Just for the agenda today, we're going to be talking about biodegradable packaging. Of course, as always, one brand to protest and one brand to recommend. I have made this like the common structure for my show, specifically the one brand to protest and recommend section because, like I've said before, I don't want me to overload you with information and you just feel kind of hopeless after this. I think that's a big issue, is just like learning so much about the way the world is messed up, and then you're just paralyzed with fear, anxiety, and dread and hopelessness. And it's very easy to become a nihilist in this day and age, and I hope it gives one small grain of hope that with redirection we can make a difference. At least that's what I believe. It's really hard to believe that, but I choose to believe that every day. And I hope that this show and these recommendations and redirections kind of pave the way for that in a sense. But yeah, so just to go over my resources today, I'm using the platform Science Direct, which is where you can read a bunch of research articles. So I'm referencing some research articles, which means it's like scientific journals and research, of course. I believe you can access them yourself, just the regular person. I'm not entirely sure because my search engine is now tied into my school, and my school allows me to access a lot of research journals. So, Science Direct, and then also Allure, which is a beauty magazine. Yeah. So, today I'm focusing on biodegradable packaging and what's currently happening in the market regarding that, as well as what could come about that. It's so interesting, you know, just innovation and the minds of people. Like I was literally looking at Instagram earlier and I saw a bunch of examples of how scientists are finding ways, just the regular person who have turned scientists by making this an invention. They're repurposing textiles, like clothes that nobody is wearing. Which is a huge sustainability issue. And they're making it into bricks basically for housing, which is, I've actually had that thought myself, just like laying in bed. Like, I love to come up with new ideas. Like, I've worked on policy for my student government when I was in undergrad. That's just like my jam, is to come up with solutions in a sense. And I've had that thought, like, what if we made old clothing into bricks? And it's amazing to see that other people have thought of that too. So there's so much to be done and so much innovation and redirection that comes from the hearts of people who want to make a difference. So yeah, I hope that this section is just kind of interesting, because this is where the innovation lies moving forward. So regarding biodegradable packaging, there's so many types, and we'll be going over that a little bit. So there's plant-based plastic, for example, which can also just be called bioplastic, and that means it's biodegradable. I don't actually understand how that process works, but I assume it's similar to fossil fuels, because fossil fuels are natural as well, but you isolate the polymers and then turn them into chains, and that's how you make plastic. So there's bioplastic now. There's also just straightforward compostable packaging, which could be in the form of paper, wood. I mean, paper is wood, but people are doing paper packaging versus like actual just wood packaging, general plant fibers, cotton, bamboo, which is amazing because bamboo is actually the fastest growing plant in the whole world. Corn, which is fascinating as well. I haven't heard about this because it's also a relatively easy crop to grow. But my only concern with that is the use of monocultures, which is already a huge issue in agriculture and sustainability of agriculture, because yeah, I could do a whole other episode on that. And cellulose, which is the sugar of plants. And it's apparently pretty rigid, I believe, or flexible and rigid. I'm not exactly sure, but it's an easier thing to manipulate, I'm pretty sure. Or packaging free, like total package free. Like, it is like a solid. The object you're buying is just the object. It's not like contained in anything. So what I mean by that is Lush Cosmetics, for example, one of their mascaras comes as a cylinder. It's like a cylinder with a hole in it where you wet, it's like you spray not the whole block, but just inside the hole with water. And then you take the mascara brush, which their mascara brush is not biodegradable, but I mean, of course, future alterations seem possible. So you spray inside the hole, and then now it's wet. So you take the mascara, you make like a paste with the mascara, and put it on your eyelashes. And it kind of just reminds me of the makeup from like the 20s and the 30s. Like, this was before plastic really took form. So it's like we once were able to use these things, be innovative with what we have. So why not take some of those ideas and repurpose them? So that's just an example of packaging free makeup. I also have one of their body lotions, which is packaging free, which is so crazy. It's just like this block basically that is like solid and doesn't melt because of maybe additional beeswax, which helps keep form. And by just rubbing it on your body, it starts to melt. And then it's just like left alone on a little glass plate, which is just so cool because then there's no plastic. And when you're done, it's just gone. So yeah, that's an option. And generally, compostable packaging kind of seems to be on the rise and slowly integrating its way into the mainstream makeup market. For example, Half Magic Beauty, which is created by Donna Davey. She was the head makeup artist at Euphoria, the TV show. She's selling her eyeshadows and blushes and like the eye and face products and compostable paper outlining. So the product itself is like poured into a thin metal square, but that could be recycled when you're done. But it's like actually what it's held inside. So it's easier to hold, and you're not just like holding a little rectangle to give the product some more form. Is paper, cardboard. So I could understand that maybe to some paper packaging might be a turnoff because a lot of people associate the feeling of heaviness in a package or container with luxury. And that's why some people prefer glass or hard plastic because it just gives that illusion like, oh, this thing that I have is so luxurious. And I don't know, I could see that some people might not want something that's paper, but yeah, paper packaging might prove to be more useful in recycling. Since plastic packaging can be hard to recycle, actually, due to its mix of polymers. So it's like when they make plastic, it's not just like one polymer type that they're using to make it. They often like mix different things with each other, which makes it really hard to recycle due to it being different on the molecular level. Like to separate the different types is really difficult. And of course, people who are recycling, our government is like not trying to do all that. I mean, maybe there's just not funding for that, or it just is like an intense process and would prove to be more energy, have more of an energy cost. Which brings me to my next point. It's not the case with paper. It takes less energy to manipulate to create. Plastic, you need more energy to m melt it down and manipulate it. And for it to form, paper is so much easier to form. And I mean, you can make paper without the use of energy at all. Like it's just water. You just cut it up into water and make paper, basically. But of course, if it's at the makeup market level, they're probably doing this in factories. But it just gives an idea that there's less energy being put into this. And less energy means less potential for fossil fuels burned, which is amazing. So there's a lot of different ways that this could be beneficial. However, when looking at Half Magic's formulas, they do formulate with microplastics in some of their liquid formulas. Although this is the case, it's still a step in the right direction. Like the reason why microplastics, if you haven't tuned into my previous episodes, the reason why microplastics are still allowed in formulations of makeup is because at the EU level, hard microplastics such as beads have been banned, but liquid microplastics, they say that they're water soluble so that they're allowed. But that literally just means that microplastics go into the water. But going back to what I was saying, even though they do formulate with liquid microplastics in some of their products, it's still a step in the right direction, I believe. They also have an amazing circular recycling program, which should also just become the norm, where you can mail back some of your empty products to ensure that they're being recycled properly. Lush Cosmetics does this as well. Like you can bring back the pots of plastic in which you bought a product and give it back to them either for a discount on your next purchase or to get something free if you have a certain amount of empty products to give back. So what they do is they basically like shred the plastic at their factories in-house and then use it for another product and like make sure it's clean and everything. So that just illustrates like a circular recyclable program because when you just leave it up to the government, they don't give a F about recycling truly. So to know that it's happening at the smaller scale and in-house is so much better. However, the downside is that I bet so many people don't know about this because when you go see their products, I mean, Lush probably more people know because it's like I feel like you have more like hippies buying from that store. And they do really advertise the fact that there is a recyclable program through their incentivizing of discounts. But with Half Magic, I only found out that they have that type of recyclable circular system on their website under like an about tab about their brand, and I've never seen it like in person at Ulta or like associated with their brand in any other way. But it's just an amazing step in the right direction, and I really hope that it could become a policy. That's like my dream is that maybe one day the government would give like a tax incentive to these smaller brands to make sure that the recycling is happening at a smaller scale so that they have more control over it. But yeah, going back to what I was saying, another example of biodegradable things that go into packaging is soy ink. That's a new thing that like the ink on a product is from soy. This is also super interesting. I know I read about this from, I believe it was EcoTools, that they use bio-nanopol, which is a bio-based polyurethane, which makes it biodegradable. So polyurethane is a type of plastic. And their bio-based polyurethane is derived from vegetable oils and or sugar. So polyurethane, typical polyurethane, is a flexible plastic used for coating. It can be an adhesive, it can allow for insulation. So it's a super versatile type of plastic. Going into the chemistry, parts of its structure are both rigid and flexible, which allows for like thermodynamics to make it a versatile type of plastic. It makes it a the fact that it's like both rigid and flexible at the same time on its molecular structure makes it a really good option for durability because it's like some parts of it absorb the heat. It's the chemistry is fascinating. It is also neither described as a plastic nor a rubber, but kind of both because of its unique and easy manipulation. Polyurethane can actually be found in cosmetics. So this is another type of microplastic that can be found in your makeup and skincare. The specific name is polyurethane 35. It is found in cosmetics and used as a film forming agent. So what that means is like, say you have a lip product that creates this film. I mean, all lip products essentially create film. And that's why they're in so many products. But the best way to kind of describe what microplastic could do is like, say you have like a glossy lip tint. It's like the color deposits on the lip, but then the lip gloss kind of separates from the tint so that the gloss is on top and the lip tint is staining your mouth. That is the best example of how that could work in makeup or to make things waterproof, for example. But it is used extensively in cosmetics for foam forming. And it's just crazy because it's like this stuff that is used for adhesives, glue, things for manufacturing, things that insulate like trains and cars. It's literally like a spray-on coat that is used to keep things durable and coated and waterproof. That's on your freaking face. Yeah, it can be found in many things such as hair care or sunscreen to create, and especially in sunscreen, to create a film to protect against the sun. Because it's like, okay, now I have this stuff on my face that's coated. And it makes it harder for the sun to penetrate. So those are just a few examples of where you can find polyurethane hair care, like I said. Yeah, so bio-based polyurethane is like the new frontier. It's so fascinating. And cashew nut shell oil is a widely available resource, apparently. It's often regarded as waste in the industry, but this is another example of how we can utilize waste for creating circular economies and circular systems which promote sustainability. So that is a promising example of how we could make biodegradable plastic. And so this is a quote from one of the research papers I was looking at. So, but it just sums up why bio-based polyurethane is an amazing option. I mean, fossil fuels are going to deplete. It's not, I mean, yes, it comes from the earth, but there's only so many fossils there. The inevitable depletion of fossil fuels and the impacts of global climate change have generated significant interest in developing renewable and sustainable materials, such as such as bio-based polyurethane as an alternative to the petroleum-based counterparts. Biomass compounds hold sustainable, so compounds is just like the structure, the molecular structure, hold sustainable economic and ecological potential, being cost effective. As I said, the cashew nut shell oil is considered waste. So using waste, you're saving money. It's renewable, biodegradable, and widely accessible because you can utilize waste and things that are disregarded into making something really amazing and biodegradable itself. So yeah, as I was saying, plastic is non-renewable. You might think it is. I know s when I was younger, I thought plastic was for some reason. But plastic is a non-renewable resource as most of it is derived from fossil fuels. The fossil fuels are obtained from fracking, which includes breaking up the earth to get gas. So that leads to the destruction of land and essentially throwing off the ecosystem. So to create plastic, you heat up the fossil fuels to break them down into smaller molecular structures like ethylene and propylene. These are then used to make polymers, which are repeating chains of molecules, which are then the core ingredients of products. So that's why when I am talking about microplastics in skincare and makeup, most of the names might say copolymer or polymer or poly something. It's because those words indicate a repeating chain like structure. And it is, if it's microplastic, it is that small. And what I mean by being mistaken and thinking that plastic was renewable, I mean, rubber is what is a natural resource because that comes from trees essentially. But when we think of rubber, we think of rubber that comes from plastic, that is, comes from fossil fuels. So that's easy to conflate, I believe. And that is not a renewable resource. The reason why this is so important is because in 2018, in the United States alone, almost 7.9 billion units of rigid plastic, rigid, not microplastics. Rigid plastic was created just for beauty and personal care products. 7.9 billion units. That means units means like the actual container. Billion. This is scary. So all of these things that I was saying could replace this. And like I said before, the introduction of paper and all these alternatives could break into the standard makeup market now. And I really hope that you guys, my listeners, take this into consideration and decide to prioritize brands that are innovative in this way. Because it just shifts the demand. And even if the market is meeting trend demands, it's and if the trend demand is sustainable, then so be it. So like I was saying, more sustainable beauty products and standards seem to slowly become are slowly becoming the norm. The best example of this becoming the norm is the use of post-consumer recycled plastic. This is extremely helpful in creating a circular system of recycling and not creating virgin plastic, which is like never used before plastic, like just made from fossil fuels, and gives a new life to these materials. But what impedes this from fully taking force is that different kinds of plastic, like I said before, are melted together and it makes it hard to recycle or separate when being turned into post-consumer recycled plastic due to its molecular differences. Yeah, it's just so fascinating. It's like not only do I care about this stuff because it's about sustainability, but I love biology and chemistry and science, and just all of this stuff is so fascinating. And I've been thinking a lot about like what I'm going to do in my future. And I also really am interested in policy and law. So right now I feel kind of like I'm in a crossroads. Like I'm finishing up my master's degree. I thought maybe I was more wired to do reading and writing, but I actually don't think I am. I think my brain works better in facts and remembering facts and just memorizing, to be honest. So I'm kind of thinking like, what am I going to do after this? And doing this radio show has honestly like really, it obviously has struck my fancy because I created this show, but it's like, oh, I'm really, really into this. And it is natural for me to talk about. And I love science. So it just, I'm kind of like, girl, what are you gonna do with your education after this? Like, I low key would love to study microplastics as a PhD, but that's just a little secret hope. So that brings me to the end of my episode. Now, moving on, I wanna talk about one brand to boycott. And that brand is Maybelline. They are part of the BDS boycott list because of Maybelline being a subsidiary owned by L'Oreal. If you didn't tune into my episode from last week, I covered brands to boycott due to their complicity, I think that's the word, complicity in the Palestinian genocide. They also formulate with microplastics, so it's a one in two reason as to why not buy from them anymore. It's unfortunate because Maybelline is relatively affordable in the drugstore, or like not in the drugstore, they're a bit more expensive, but just like in the makeup industry, they're relatively affordable. And their products are pretty nice, but they formulate with microplastics and they're complicit in genocide. So you know I'm not buying from them anymore. And I hope that you don't buy from them either until they cut ties and reformulate without microplastics. So yeah, I covered as to why to boycott L'Oreal last episode. And if you didn't know, Moss Radio now has their archives up, which means you can tune into episodes that are not airing right now in this moment live. But if you miss an episode, you can always go back on their website, look at the archives, and listen to an episode that previously aired. So my episode last week was, like I've said, covering brands to protest due to their affiliation with the genocide. And the reason why L'Oreal is being boycotted by the BDS movement is because they have factories in Israel and they mine from the Dead Sea, which is closed off to Palestinians, even though that's their land. They like the factories that they have are like placed on displaced land. It's crazy, man, if you read about this stuff. So you can find out easily why they're a part of the boycott list on the BDS movement website itself. Just there's so many keyword options you can look up. And like I brought up the whole archives thing because I talked about it last week. So listen to that. And then that brings me to one brand to recommend, which is Welda. They are a more natural brand, and I haven't noticed any microplastics in their formulations, which is awesome, because I've been on the hunt for a plastic-free moisturizer. I just ran out of my moisturizer, and it's proved to be insanely difficult to find products at the store that you don't have to buy online, because I prefer to buy things in person just because of like the gas that is released on planes when you buy things online. And so I can see and read and try it. So I've been on the hunt for a plastic-free moisturizer, and this is the next one I'm going to buy, is their skin food. I also have eczema now, which is really difficult, and it's been really hard for me to find something that's soothing, moisturizing, and packaging free, because I'm also about to run out of my body lotion, and they have that without plastic in it. And yeah, so I'm happy to buy that next. Yeah, and although it's a little fragrance, I believe that they have fragrance-free options. I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, I'm excited to try their stuff out, and I'll let you guys know what I think about it. And I hope that it's okay with my eczema, knowing that it has a little bit of essential oils, but whatever. So that brings me to the end of my episode. I hope you enjoyed and learned something. This was more about, like I said, biodegradable packaging and options, where we could go in the future. And I hope you learned something about maybe the chemistry, how these things are created, and what to look out for in your products. So the microplastic of the day, I guess that could be a new ending also. Microplastic of the day, because there's so many different name types due to the polymer structure, is polyurethane 35. That is likely what you'll find in makeup, hair care, sun care, if you're looking out for polyurethane. So yeah, just be on the hunt for that, avoid that. And I hope you guys have an amazing rest of your Sunday, and have an amazing rest of your week, and shift your purchasing power. We can do this. And like I said, reach out if you have any questions, you want to access the research that I was looking at, or you want me to cover something, or you just want to talk to me about my episode. And if you want to tune into the previous episodes that I've done, that are past, you can look up Moss Radio Archives on their website. You'll be able to easily access that. So that was it for Makeup Microplastics with Marley today, live on Moss Radio. I love you guys. Have a great rest of your day. Take care.